So on the 29th of December, we're going to go back to the Christmas story. Let's remember what was going on socially and politically at the time of the birth of Jesus. Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire world, and everyone went to his own town to register. The shepherds, we picture them on the hillside or beside the manger. But presumably, they'd also been involved in the census. In later years, what did they tell their grandchildren? What was the main memory of that time? Was it queuing up for registration, meeting up with relatives who'd returned to their village of origin, or more likely, the vision of angels, the words that were told them, and the baby they'd worshipped? We know that they shared their excitement at the time, but how did it sit in their long-term memories? Did they go on talking about it? Did they talk about it in the years that followed? We know that their first reaction was to tell everyone what was happening. We know that because Luke tells us so. So we sing again about the shepherds. It's selected verses from the carol Christians Awake. While the shepherds saw angels in the sky and received their instructions in a clear and unmistakable way, so that they were immediately able to go and see Jesus, it was a very different story for the wise men. Where the shepherds took a day trip, or a night trip, I suppose, the wise men were on a long and probably arduous trek over a long period of time. I've tried to think of the word that describes a long and arduous trek for a long period of time, and all I could come up with was an expedition of discovery, but it was long and arduous. The wise men, I suppose all wise men are, were inquiring people, ready to make a long journey to find out what this star was about. Somehow, they knew of the ancient promises in the Hebrew scriptures. And rather than just observing the phenomenon in the skies, they went to seek out the young child. For some of us, like the shepherds, meeting with Jesus is a sudden, wonderful experience. For others, like the wise men, there's a long search involving wrong turnings, calling at the wrong address, approaching the wrong king, before finally coming face to face with Jesus. Anne is going to read us the story.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Sing us with gladness, men of old. There are many unnamed people who were caught up in the events of that time. And many of them experienced great suffering, fear, and dreadful sadness as a result of the actions of Herod. We know very little about the crowds who went to be taxed. But it was a significant family moment for many, and probably a bit of a disruptive chore. The instruction was that they should go back to their own cities. So they would have met up with a lot of family members that they may not have seen for a long time. Glad reunions for those on good terms, awkward moments for those involved in family feuds or misunderstandings. It wasn't an event that they would easily forget. For the innkeepers and for the family members who lived in Bethlehem, hospitality would have been stretched to the limits, not something they would forget either. No family photograph to remind them of the time, but lots of memories. Not just a historical moment in their lives. They would remember and maybe laugh or cry at their precious family moments. But most of them would have been completely oblivious to the wonder at what was happening under their noses. I'm going to sing a song in a moment that I'm pretty sure you won't know, but you will know the tune. I chose this one partly because it mentions the census. There's a fleeting reference to Herod's crimes and the flight to Egypt and the return. Now, D.T. Niles, who wrote this song, was a much quoted and respected Sri Lankan Christian of the last century. He was born in 1908, died in 1970, and you may know some words that are attributed to him. One of the things he said was, "Evangelism is witness. It is one beggar telling another beggar where to get food." So that was D.T. Niles, one of the things he's remembered for, and we're going to sing this song to the tune of Scarlet Ribbons. Well, if you didn't know the tune when you started, you know it now. A few thoughts about Mary and Joseph. From the beginning, Mary knew that her son was no ordinary child. When 8 days after the birth of Jesus, Joseph and Mary presented him at the temple, they met up with Simeon and Anna. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." I'm going to sing, maybe we'll stay sitting for this one, "Born in the Night, Mary's Child." As we've reminded ourselves, there were a lot of people around when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Who was in Jerusalem when Jesus died on the cross? Again, there were crowds because it was the time of Passover. But I wonder, were any of the shepherds who were at the manger there in Jerusalem when Jesus died? They might have been. If so, did they connect their experiences of years gone by with what was happening to Jesus? Did they know that the Jesus who'd been going about doing good was that same baby they had worshipped so many years before? What had happened to them in the intervening years? After all the excitement of the birth of Jesus, had some of them, very soon after, suffered at the hands of Herod as he took their sons from them and killed them? So much sadness after so much joy. Both memories would have influenced their whole lives. One of joy, the other of terrible pain and loss. How had they dealt with these things? Had tragedy overshadowed their joy? How had they dealt with their memories? Probably Elizabeth and Zechariah had died before the crucifixion. We know that when their son John was born, Elizabeth was already old. But maybe they were still around. If so, what did they make of the crucifixion? John, their son, had been beheaded. And now, Elizabeth's cousin, Mary's son, their nephew, was dying. Was there any more that family could suffer? The wise men. Presumably, they were living many miles away. Perhaps they never, ever got to know about the cross. But what had they done with their memories? It's easy for us to delight in the Christmas story, but to stop at the cradle and fail to grasp the wonder of the cross. We presume that Joseph had died sometime in the 33 years after Jesus was born. But Mary was there when Jesus died. What memories rose in her heart as she watched her son die on the cross? God's call to her and her response, the birth of Jesus and the amazing events surrounding it, their escape to Egypt to save his life, and then their return. Why had God made this possible only for her son to die in this way? Rachel is going to sing a song for us. It's written by Graham Kendrick, which explores Mary's emotions through the years of her son's life. It's part of the story. A part that Mary would soon know, that many in Jerusalem and beyond would know, that would reach out as far as the lands from which the wise men came. News that would spread into the mountains where shepherds would still be tending their sheep and innkeepers still open for business. Do our memories still feed into our lives today? Or is the book shut on history? Whatever this year has been like, in national terms, in the countries throughout the world, in our personal lives, let us remind ourselves now of where we began our time together this morning. Our God is faithful. He who gave his only Son, the Word made flesh, made our salvation possible through the cradle and the cross, and lives to reign. Rachel's going to lead us in prayer.